Doctor, if some people who are prone to migraines, how do we know it's not the geomagnetic field that's doing that?
Well, we don't really. I mean, in fact, there's quite a few physicians that I've come across since we started this initiative that have contacted us that actually have their patients with migraines and headaches track the geomagnetic fields. For some people, they are more sensitive than others to these types of energetic influxes.
So, how about animals?
Oh, definitely. Animals are far more sensitive, I think, than we humans are. I mean, there's a lot of examples of, well, here, let me give you a great one. A lot of earthquakes and the tsunamis and so on,
sure.
There's all these stories about how the animals somehow know about it ahead of time and get out of Dodge, so to speak.
Yep, head for the hills.
Head for the hills. Many, many stories. In fact, the Chinese even had a system of watching for strange animal behavior as a way of predicting earthquakes in place. Now, what we now know is that we can measure changes in the Earth's geomagnetic field and in the ionospheric field. This is just starting to become clear that precede earthquakes up to a couple of weeks in some cases. So the animals are just more tuned into these geomagnetic and Earth fields they don't have all the mental stuff getting in the way, I think, is probably what's really going on. So
yeah, that's true. I've gotten some calls from some people who can sense earthquakes. They hear low tones,
mm-hmm.
and their bodies feel different. So they may be picking these up just like the animals.
Absolutely. We're all energetically sensitive, just to different degrees, and some of us more aware of it. And the more aware we can become of it, the more educated that people become, the more we can help offset these effects. It's one of the most important things. So that's a lot of what the Global Coherence Initiative is really all about, is providing education for people, and we also have some tools, techniques, and technology that allow people to increase their own personal, what we call coherence, so that they're not as affected by these energetic influxes, whether it's the lunar cycles, the solar cycles, or geomagnetic disturbances. Because basically, it really gets pretty simple. I mean, these external influences, they're not out to get us. They're natural cycles. But what is really important is when we have these influxes, you know, and what humans don't like is change, George, especially if we don't understand it or unexpected change. But by learning how to take our own personal responsibility for our own energy, we can elect to use these energy influxes in positive ways so we don't go get in more traffic accidents and get more irritated and so on. So there's an amazing kind of story here. One of the first people to really do research on the effects of, say, solar activities, which impacts the geomagnetic field, and then us, was a Russian scientist named Alexander Chesovsky. You may have heard of him before, but he, during World War I, he observed that during solar flares and activity, which then in turn disturbed the Earth's field, that there were more battles and they were bloodier, and just kind of like we were talking about earlier, kind of crazier stuff going on. So he did an amazing review of human history back to 1749 up to 1926 is when he published his work, and plotted the number of major human events that had a global impact by year, just put the number, how many occurred each year from all those from 1749 up to 1926, and then plotted that along with the solar cycle. And if you can see the graph of it, it just blows you away. I mean, they're exact overlays. Now, what was also found later to be true was that the greatest periods of human flourishing, more scientific discoveries, more cooperation also happened in those same peaks of when we had more onsets of wars and things. So this energy isn't necessarily negative. It's just how we choose to use it. And that's really one of my main messages here, is that people can learn tools to really manage what can seem stressful and use that same energy in a very positive and creative way. And that's a lot of the resources we provide, for a lot of them for free, through the Global Coherence website or the Institute of Heart Mass website.
Tell me about some of your work with animals and human emotions. This is fascinating.
Well, that's an interesting story, too. And I know a lot of people really feel an emotional connection with their animals. So we've done some work that actually shows that that's not just some strange idea. They really are very tuned into us. So there are a couple of great examples. In fact, I published a chapter on this in a bioelectromagnetic book on some of this research. But what we've done is, by the way, the human heart is very reflective of emotions. And to help make this research make sense, it's important to understand that our heart rate changes with every heartbeat. Okay, and that's a natural variation. It's called heart rate variability. And it's a really important measure in terms of our overall health and resiliency, how much of this we have, this variability. Then within that, the heart is literally beating out messages or patterns of information that reflect emotion. Is one of the things that's reflected in that beat-to-beat pattern that the heart beats out. So we hooked up recorders that measure the heart rate variability on humans and animals. So we've done this with, actually one of the first people that did it was my son and his dog. So we had them both wired up to these devices, and the dog was in one of our labs, and my son, his name's Josh, went in and basically sat down and just did what we call a heart lock-in, where he shifted into a nice coherent state where the heart's beating out this kind of rolling hill-looking pattern rather than being kind of edgy and jerky-looking, and we call that a coherent heart state. And what helps you shift into that state is when you're genuinely feeling positive feelings like care or appreciation, these kinds of things. So that was very easy for him to do in this case. But the important thing here is this was an energetic experiment. He wasn't petting the dog or talking to his dog. He was just hanging out in the lab. And what you can see very clearly in the data is once Josh made that shift, my son, the dog had an obvious state change and went into what you could think of as dog coherence. It's just so obvious when you see the graphs. So the dog was obviously picking up his emotional state and made an internal shift. Now, we've done the same thing with horses as well. And both horses and dogs seem to be amazingly tuned in to human emotions.
That's great stuff. It really is. Why is it that people, after, let's say, 5 days of rain, because I've seen it here in St. Louis, 5 days of rain, they begin to get depressed. But when it's sunny out and clear, people seem to be a little happier.
Well, there's probably a lot of reasons for that. I mean, being cooped up inside, but we're also cut off from the natural sunlight during those types of things, which is another source of energetic influx into our systems. I know for me, after I've had a cold or something, one of the first things I want to do is go out and just get some sun to help recharge my system, get re-energized.
Yeah, that's probably what it's up to. Have you looked at the Mayan calendar 2012 date?
A little bit, yes. I'm very familiar with all of that. And, of course, there's a lot of fear projections and things like that about 2012, which is, again, I'm not in that camp. I really think the other part of what we're doing with global coherence is a little more far-reaching hypothesis, and that is that the kind of collective human emotionality is literally interacting with and modulating the Earth's field. And we've got there's some data to support that. So a lot of the fear and stuff about whether those 2012 or other events actually creates a field that creates more stress on the planet. So a lot of what we're doing is educating people that it's really not something we have to be scared of. It gets back to depending on how self-managed we are and able to take responsibility for our own energies. Now, I know a lot of people are talking about that, kind of things that we need to put out more love and care and things like that rather than fear. But that's really hard for people just to do that. I mean, let's be real here. I mean, that sounds nice conceptually, but that takes some effort. And people need to know how to do that. They need practical tools to be able to make those kind of shifts and be able to reduce their stress throughout the day and live more from a more appreciative and caring perspective, where they're more cooperative and not so frustrated and angry and impatient and so on. Again, and that's a lot of what the tools that we've developed here at HeartMath and part of the Global Coherence Initiative are all about, is helping people actually reduce their stress